Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith located in Sacramento, California.
We hope our podcast will help those who listen to grow in faith.
The podcasts currently feature the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
We hope you find them inspiring. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
The world is tripping. The church is tripping. We're straining gnats and half the cats dipping. Church rule number 4080. Some church people are shady. So creep with me as I crawl through the church on a search to find people that's putting love first. Cause grace trumps works and grace comes first. You can quench your thirst for justice on this earth. Express your hurt and yes, there's dirt you've done. Keep questions searching and yes, the church is fun. Some soaring, one more thing. Some congregations have begun snoring. Come Lord King, come Lord bring transcendence to those at home scoring. And let the door swing right open till the church give hope and the rules are broken. Do justice,
do
love, mercy.
Justice,
do justice, love, mercy.
Mercy.
Do justice, love, mercy.
Only
mercy,
with
mercy,
our
mercy,
God.
Do justice,
do
love, mercy.
Justice,
do justice, love, mercy.
Do justice,
love, mercy.
Do justice, love, mercy. Only with our God. I wonder, will justice come? I think I hear mercy calling. With each other walking humbly with our God. I wonder, will justice come? I think I hear mercy calling. With each other walking humbly with our God.
And the music that we've just heard might feel really new to some of us, and for others it might feel like home. It might feel a lot more like what we've longed for in a church community for a long time. See, we gathered in this space around the map here before us, and we were invited to reflect on four different places. We invited you to place a pin here where your home is, to place a pin where you work or where you volunteer or where you go to school. And then we also invited you to think about a place that you would like to explore, a place you'd like to get to know. And then we also invited you to place a pin in a third place. It's neither work nor home, but it's a place where you feel at home. And we're going to begin worship each of these weeks during this series called Reaching in Love with prayer stations just like this. We'll be invited to move around and to reflect on some of the questions that'll come before us during this time. We're also going to start off with each week with just one biblical verse, and Linda read it for us, and I want to remind us of that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. See, the church uses a three-year lectionary cycle. It's a fancy church term to say that a couple of folks got together and they created a system for us to kind of cycle through the readings. So for one whole year, we basically read through Matthew. And then for another whole year, we basically read through Mark and then Luke, and then we intersperse John throughout that. And that's called the lectionary. So oftentimes, Linda and I choose to create worship just around how the lectionary has been laid out before us. And we're departing from it intentionally during these next 5 weeks. And we're just going to focus on that one line. I think Betty has it for us, and we can put it right up here. We're going to focus on this one text during these 5 weeks. We have a friend who's a pastor in San Francisco. His name is Skyler. And Skyler was kind of convinced that his church wasn't really able to get this notion of forgiveness. And so instead of focusing on the lectionary, he kept one chapter from Romans, and they used it for an entire year. For 1 year, every time you came to worship at Skyler's church, you heard the exact same text. And Skyler, I'll tell you, the folks just weren't getting it. So we had to keep doing it. And we're not going to do this for a whole, well, we'll see how long we're going to do this. We're aiming for 5 weeks around this one verse to root our lives in this. We think we're a pretty advanced group. We think we can handle 5 weeks with this text. And Skylar stayed for one whole year with folks. They were. And we're not in that space, but we are in a new place. We started worshiping together as the table at Central United Methodist Church back in October. And we started to worship weekly. And we held 3 commitments together during this time. We seek to be a community that's rooted in grace, that's growing in faith, and that's reaching in love. And so we started our time together by rooting our lives in grace through the experience of worship. Grace is where we ground ourselves as we gather in this space. And yet, worship alone is inadequate. It's not enough to sustain us. God seeks for us to grow in faith as well, not just to hold to where we are, but to grow and to be transformed. So we root ourselves in God's unconditional love here, and then many of us choose to gather in what we call kitchen tables to watch over one another in love and to grow in faith. So we've lived out that process for 9 months together. And today we embark on a new part of our journey. We take another step, and we think it's a significant step. We think that we're ready as a community of faith now to discern how God is calling us to reach in love. So almost every Sunday that you gather here, you'll hear from one of us that we'd like for you to take a next step. You've come in to worship, and a next step for those that aren't in kitchen tables would be to grab a copy of a blueprint for discipleship in the back of the sanctuary, take it home with you, look it over, and then one of us would love to have coffee or tea and to talk with you about how you might grow in faith. We think that's a next step for many folks. And then once you've completed that class with us, we invite you to join a kitchen table and to gather together to start to learn to talk about faith with other folks. And so now we've discerned that we as a community are ready to take another next step. And that's to listen together how God is calling you individually, us individually, and all of us as a community to reach in love. So to be sure, we're not offering a series or a program of how you should go about doing this. We're not offering a checklist of how one lives out what God wants for us. It's just not that simple. But we are holding ourselves to these 3 commitments with the deep hope that God will shape our lives into what God needs in this day and this time. And we do that as we gather together around this text. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. See, we find ourselves in this text in the first chapter in the book of Acts. And so what's happened is Jesus has been put to death, and he is resurrected in this space. And he's gathering his followers around him, and he's sharing these words with them as kind of a commissioning to go out into the world. And in just a few lines, this same Jesus, this risen Christ, is going to ascend, is how the church talks about it. Going to go away from us to be with God in heaven. And so there's just these couple lines that we have. This might be like Jesus' last words with the folks as he came back one more time. This is it for the Friday Night Lights. Does anyone else watch Friday Night Lights? Am I the only person? This is Coach Taylor's clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Mm-hmm. This is what Jesus is saying to the folks as they gather, and he's going to take off. See, I'm thinking if I'm a disciple and Jesus is with me, I'd prefer a checklist. Mm-hmm. That just feels a lot easier. If I can mark off what I've done, how far I've gone, that just works a little bit better oftentimes for me. Scott is resonating with that checklist. But we find no checklist. We just find clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. That's where Jesus sends the folks. His version of that is, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Our worship over these next 5 weeks is going to lift up a part of that text each week. So we begin this morning in Jerusalem. So the followers of Jesus, their homes were literally just around the way from Jerusalem, just out in the hills in Galilee. Jerusalem is where they came to the temple. It's the major city around them. For some, it might actually have been their home. I think you could say, at worst, it's their third place. It's the place they go that feels like home. We're going to come back to this text next week, and we're going to look at Judea, which Judea you might be described kind of like this. It's when you're in Judea, you look around and you think, these are my people. And then they start to talk, and you think, these are not my people. Mm-mm. That's what we're going to talk about next week. And then we find Samaria. Samaria is where, when you walk in, you know, first thing, these are not my people. Right? And then we're going to look at the ends of the earth, and we don't even know what to imagine there. All we can even talk about it as the ends of the earth. So I suspect, though, that many of us aren't getting caught up with Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria or the ends of the earth. The place where a lot of us, I think, get stuck is in that word witnesses. Uh-oh. You'll be my witnesses in these places. And I think that that's where a lot of us say, whew. That's not where I can go. That doesn't feel very comfortable because witnesses actually have to say something. And I like to live out my faith and then hope that through my actions, folks will see what I'm doing and they'll just get it. They'll put all the pieces together. I'm a parent of a 20-month-old and I'm quickly learning that that is a nice thought, but there's going to need to be some words that are shared here in her life as well. Amen, Anthony?
Amen. Amen.
Yes. So that is where we find ourselves, though, as people of faith often. It's, I could live this out if folks could just watch me enough. But actually, some of us don't even allow ourselves to go there. We get caught up way before that. See, Fred Craddock, who's a preacher of preachers, he writes about it this way. Who am I that I should be talking to other people about faith when God knows I have so many problems of my own? I certainly am not perfect. I have enough difficulty with my own life. Who am I to speak to others? And so he says, then we spend the rest of our time getting ourselves straight first with the illusion that once we get everything straightened out with ourselves, then we'll be qualified to speak to others. And so here we sit before a green light, and the traffic is backed up behind us, he says, all the way to Toronto. And I'm just going to keep that image there because I think we might be that stuck. The traffic might be backed up all the way to Toronto. We're tinkering with our own souls to get them adjusted just right so that we'll be qualified to witness. And he continues, now suppose, just suppose that those first followers of Jesus had been of this mind. Suppose they'd said, when we clean up all of our problems, then we'll be able to speak to some other people about this. How long would it have taken them? In the membership of that first group that was gathered was Judas, right? We need to get all of this worked out. Don't you imagine the church was a little bit tongue-tied about this? The one who thought he was following Jesus so well is the one who betrayed. So who are we to go talk to others? As soon as we arrive, aren't they going to say, well, what about that Judas guy? Mm-hmm. You seem to hang out with him quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Who are you talking to us? You're the one that's walking around with Judas. And then you've got Simon Peter. Simon Peter is the one who cursed and swore that he never knew Jesus. Mm-hmm. You're going to come and talk to me now about your faith. You're going to witness to me. Simon Peter, really. The one that said, nope, nope, nope. That's the one. All 12, this is a really motley crew of folks. Mark says that all of the disciples forsook Jesus and fled in their hour of crisis. And now they're going to be the witnesses. And then just to top it off, there's that leading missionary, Paul. He's the one, Craddock says that this way, I love this phrase. Paul, his hands are dipped to the elbows in the blood of the church. It was he who tried to stab the church in its cradle and kill all of those earliest followers of Jesus. And now he is going to be a witness. Those cars are backed up. But that's exactly who Jesus calls upon. The risen Christ speaks to those very folks and calls them to be witnesses. Because witnessing is not talking about oneself. You don't take the stand in a courtroom to explain to the judge and the jury how you happen to feel about the case that is before you. You just don't do that. You don't stand to say how you happen to feel about the accused. That's not what a witness does. You sit there to tell what you know, what you've witnessed. And so Jesus sends the disciples to be witnesses, first in Jerusalem. So it's kind of like this. Before you sit down with the folks that you don't know that well, before you sit down with the folks that you other or that see you as other, before you go to the ends of the earth to speak languages that you've never actually learned, you start to learn to tell your story with the folks that you think you know the best. The people who are in Jerusalem with you. Everyone has a Jerusalem. This is your home. These are your people. So the risen Christ calls us to start there. Frederick Buechner writes, "The word home summons up a place, more specifically a house, within that place, which you have rich and complex feelings about. A place where you feel or did feel once uniquely at home. Which is to say, a place where you feel you belong, and which in some sense belongs to you. A place where you feel that all is somehow ultimately well, even if things aren't going well at any given moment. That's home. This is where witnessing begins." For those fortunate enough to feel at home in some of the places that we've marked here on this map this morning, our task then appears to be from this text something like this. See, we're called to witness on behalf of the risen Christ, telling the truth about God. And I want to stress one word in that sentence. Mm-hmm. It seems that the important word is not truth, mm-hmm. but God. Mm-hmm. To tell the truth about God. Witnessing happens each time a moment confesses something of God. Witnessing happens each time that a moment points toward the divine. So what does it look like for you in your home to witness, to tell the truth about God with the folks that you feel most at home with? Mm. Have you experienced that? Can you even imagine that? At times, the United Methodist Church feels like home for me. Not all the time, but often. And so one of the places where I felt that witness was just last week on Saturday. Many of you gathered with me down at the convention center, and our bishop placed his hands on my head, and he prayed for, and he blessed, and he consecrated my ordination. And these are the words that he shared. "Almighty God, pour upon Matthew the Holy Spirit for the office and work of an elder. Matthew, take authority as an elder in the church to preach the word of God and to administer the holy sacraments in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." His words literally point to the divine. They witness to God. Take authority, preach the word, administer the sacraments in God's name. Pour upon Matthew the Holy Spirit for this work. See, that feels like the most important piece to me. See, in that piece, what the bishop recognizes, what our tradition recognizes, what our tradition witnesses to, is the truth that we can't do it ourselves. That it's not about my work out in the world, it's about the Holy Spirit working in and through my life. By myself, all I recognize over and over is my own fragility, my own tendency to fall down, and the Holy Spirit's willingness and hope in lifting me up. Mm-hmm. But I want to be clear that witnessing doesn't require those fancy robes or a big stage like that. See, on Wednesday, Linda and I gathered with one of our 10 kitchen tables. And we gathered just down the hallway, and we broke bread together. We said a simple prayer. And then we spent about an hour watching over each other in love, listening to each other of how is it with your soul? And what we were doing, each of us in our own way, was witnessing to how God is moving and working in our lives. And for those that are in kitchen tables, we know that sometimes we don't actually have the words for it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we hear the words of others And that's as close as we can actually arrive. It happened on Wednesday night to me that we witnessed together to God. And then last night, we were celebrating the birthday of a person in our community. And as we were doing it, we were gathered around a table. And I looked over, and our daughter, who's 20 months, had her little arms reached way up in the air and had her fingers wrapped around one finger of a friend who's a couple years old, and then another finger wrapped around the friend of a few years older than that. And they were walking together over to a fort to play. That, for me, was another witness to how God calls us into community, to be together. Yet, so many of us find ourselves, in a very particular sense, homeless. Especially at this moment in time, many among us are moving from one house to another. Several aren't here this morning because they're literally in the midst of boxes. They're preparing to pack their belongings, some to go on vacation for a few weeks, some to literally move across town, others of us to move across the country to head off to seminary. Mm-hmm. We're packing our belongings and we're questioning, what does home even mean? I can place my pin here because I know where the house is, but I'm not sure that's home anymore. For others of us, the home is just a place that's silent, that all too often feels broken, fragile, filled with hurt. Mm. So home for us is mostly just the distant memory of what was. Frederick Buechner writes it this way: what is the connection between the home we knew and the home we dream? I believe that what we long for most in the home we knew is the peace and charity that, if we were lucky, we first came to experience there. And I believe that is the same peace and charity we dream of finding once again in the home that the tide of time draws us toward. For too many, church is not home.
Right.
We've learned this over and over, that no matter how much we here at the table at Central seek to be a community that really practices God's unconditional love, that really lives that out, we seek, as you come into this space, to welcome folks where they are, to welcome gay people, straight people, bisexual, transgender, queer folks, to welcome all as they come into this place, because we believe that God's unconditional love is for all, period. Mm-hmm. And no matter how deeply we hold to that conviction and that truth, no matter how deeply we witness to that truth about God, we're part of a wider denomination of which folks are not in the same place that we are. And so we were reminded of the hurt of this week, as a pastor in the United Methodist Church. Her name is Amy DeLong, and she was brought to trial. She was brought to trial for two reasons in the United Methodist Church. First, she was brought to trial because she was accused of being a lesbian woman. And then the second reason that she was brought to trial is because, as a pastor, she presided over the wedding of a same-gender couple. And so a lot of us followed on Facebook and on Twitter what was happening with her trial. And what happened at the end of this trial is she was convicted, not for being a lesbian woman, but convicted for presiding over a wedding service for two people of the same gender. So for me, if witness is to be found anywhere in that whole experience, it's in Amy and the folks that spoke their truth about God's love, about what it means to be family in that space. Mm-hmm. See, it's all too clear that Amy was a person who claimed the church as her home, and yet folks in the church decided that she needed to be homeless. Mm-hmm. And so we gathered as a community these last few days to try to make sense of that reality. So instead of being dismissed, though, by breaking this policy of presiding over a wedding of same-gender loving folks, Amy will serve a brief suspension of 20 days, and during that time, she's going to be asked to write a paper about how faithful church leaders should hold each other accountable so that this kind of hurt and violence doesn't happen to another pastor.
Can't wait to read that.
It feels like a creative way to me for her to speak truth, to witness to God's love and justice, God's reconciliation, and God's hope. It might just be God's redeeming love and witness breaking through unjust policies. Mm-hmm. See, Jesus knew that all too well. See, he was tried. He was convicted, sentenced, put to death by the very folks who he thought he was making home with. He was making home with these followers who made him, Jesus, God, homeless. For ultimately, we all find our homes in God. And it's Jesus' story that reminds us of that deep prophetic truth. And it's that deep prophetic truth that's carried on by this motley crew of folks who didn't think they had the words or the way to share God's love with others. And so maybe we can witness through our longing for home, our longing for Jerusalem, our longing for God, even when we don't think that we're there. Maybe the dream of home, the dream of Jerusalem, can inspire us to tell truth about God when home feels distant. So we locate ourselves on this map this morning as a way to begin our journey toward reaching in love. And we have an itinerary before us. The risen Christ lays out that itinerary. We're called to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That is how God calls us. But I want to confess something as we close. See, I want to confess that I set out to write a sermon about reaching in love. And I want to confess that I thought, as I started to read this text, that that's all God was trying to speak to us through this Acts 1 piece. Reach in love in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. I probably read it so many times that I just thought that's what the text said. And then I spent more and more time with it, and it turns out that's actually not the Greek word. Witness, be my witnesses in those places. And I'm thankful this morning that we have 5 weeks to work on this, because frankly, I'm not quite sure what to do with the relationship between witnessing and reaching in love. What I know is that we live in a church that for the most part, liberal Christians have said, we're going to reach in love, keep that witness far away. And conservative Christians have said, we are going to witness and keep that reaching in love far away. And neither of those actually work for us. Mm-hmm. It seems that God calls us to another way, over and over and over. We think we know these stories, we spend time with them, and God speaks a new word to us through these ancient texts. So I want to honor the call to witness as central to our commitment as a community of faith to reach in love. And I want to confess that we're going to have to work this out together. Mm-hmm. What does it mean for you in your individual life to witness in your home? To share truth about God in your home? What does it mean to reach in love in your home? For some of us, those might just sit so comfortably together. And for others, we might not know right now. And the Christian faith is just that way. It calls us into unknown places where we aren't actually prepared to go. Right. Those disciples of Jesus did not want to hear clear eyes, full heart, can't lose.
Right.
They wanted to hear, go back, and it's been a good 3 years, folks. Thanks for your time. Good work. We're done. Or maybe they wanted to hear some specific things.
Right.
Give me the right way to do it. Mm-hmm. And so what we have might just be a right way. It might be that witness and reaching in love are two sides to the same coin. See, we as Christian folks commit ourselves to this contradiction that Jesus is fully human and Jesus is fully divine. Our whole faith is built on a paradox just like that. And we say to that, not either or, but yes. And then we say, we worship a God who's three and one. And folks look at us and say, that's not possible. That does not work. And we say, it's not either or, it's yes. And so Jesus looks at this motley crew of disciples, folks who've literally, as Craddock said, have blood up to their elbows, and folks who've said over and over and over, no, 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 and says, you're the ones. You're the ones. Your call is to witness. Our call is to reach in love. May we find ourselves in our longing for home, faithful in our witness to God risen in Christ, now and always. Amen.
Anthony, we're going to move into